Robots will actually begin to play a significant role in the future for travelers.
Robots will play a significant role in the future for travelers, a tourism futurologist told delegates at a conference recently. And, they said the future may see a more controlled society with our turn to mass tourism, spawning the range of new indoor tourism products.
Yeah. And so what these people they were looking at, they were trying to predict a world that is in 2050 that will be shaped by global warming, an older population, food, water, and jet fuel supply problems, as well as technological advances. And so, like, this might lead to a more controlled society, a little more stable, I would imagine, as well as tourism that's going to be a little bit more indoors and maybe less travel.
As costs for basics such as electricity and food increase, tourism operators could turn to robots as cheap labor. Yeah, indoor artificial ski centers and also zoos, golf courses, and recreated landscapes, as well as giant cruise ships, could be among the new attractions.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's going to happen is not only we'll start seeing maybe a move more towards indoor tourism, like you said, but also because robots will actually, the labor costs will be quite low, I should imagine. I think a lot of these people are going to move towards like having like robot waiters, remote-controlled carrying guard dogs in hotel lobbies, as well as self-cleaning hotel rooms.
没错，那新西兰的专家们研究显示，到2050年，在旅游业方面，机器人将会起非常大的作用。Robot waiters at cocktail bars, remote-controlled camera-carrying guards, dogs in hotel lobbies, and self-cleaning hotel rooms were all likely. So you may pass by a robot.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. I mean, Japan has been really, really interested in making robots and stuff like that for a long, long time. So it seems like, sometime in the future, we're actually going to see these things being used.
I watched a movie recently that is a female kind of a robot that has been out. You know, he has a kind of eyelash like human being.
Yeah. No, it's interesting too, because like we've seen some science fiction movies and some science fiction stories kind of like iRobot, where we see these robots and robots are part of our daily life, and then of course there's always the question, like, when does a robot become a human, and can a robot become a human, and so on and so on. And so it's kind of exciting to see that, you know, in only about 40 more years we'll actually start to see like robots actually being used rather than just being an idea.
Yeah, robotic will become important because you're going to have labor shortages in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You have some sort of interaction in terms of robots doing certain types of activities. Yeah, so it's really funny and really
interesting, I think. Yeah, definitely. It's just really, really cool because lots and lots of people have been talking about how technology is becoming and will become even more integrated into our daily lives. And so, especially as we see an older population and people having less children and so on and so on. I mean, like they said, there will be a labor shortage because you just won't have as many people to work. And so hopefully by that time, the global standard of living will be much, much higher, and we won't have to worry about, using poverty and stuff like that for cheap labor. Instead, we will have these robots, and so companies will only really have to worry so much about initial investment, just buying the robots or the robotic machinery, and then the maintenance, rather than having to keep paying and pay for health benefits and so on and so on.
Well, speaking of travel, Queensland Premier said recently one lucky person would be drawn at random next month and award an all-expenses-paid holiday to the Great Barrier Reef for the rest of the year. And Tourism Queensland decided to extend its hugely successful Best Job in the World campaign to find Hamilton Island caretaker Ben Southall Fulmes to help him explore the state in a move of anticipated to attract more tourists.
Yeah, and so so what it is, like these next 6 months aren't enough time to sample everything. So they're looking for some friends who can share the experience with Ben, and then, you know, kind of help him to explore the whole area and stuff like that, because this Hamilton Island is actually just too big. And so what they're gonna do is they're gonna have more people to come and help him, and, you know, have more video postings and blog entries and stuff like that in a move to help increase tourism to this area.
前一段时间呢，在澳大利亚的大堡礁，全世界最好工作的人已经确定之后呢，最近呢，在昆士兰旅游局又推出了一项新的服务，就是希望在全世界范围内找到四个热爱旅游的人士。期间呢，他们将会负责全年的旅游所有的费用和开销。So the 6 months just isn't enough time to sample everything, so they are looking for some mates who can share an experience with them.
Yeah, and so it's actually really, really cool, because what they're doing is anyone can register for this. And so, when Ben won this competition, like, he had to make a video and, like, describe, like, how he would be the best one and blah, 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 blah. But for these new people, all you have to do is go to their website and register and enter the contest, and then someone will be chosen next month to go there. And so it's really cool. So what's going to happen is, like, you enter, and if you win, you can choose three friends from anywhere in the world, and they can go join you on this island, and it's going to be for 6 months. And so it's really, really awesome. I mean, I'm excited, and as soon as I get the chance, I think I'm going to register. And see if I can win. Yeah, that'd be so cool. Are you kidding?
So the friends will report back to Ben about their experiences with photos, videos, and via guest blog. 那么被雇佣的这四个人呢，将会帮助岛主，也就是Ben Salthall 来更新他们的博客，同时拍一些新的照片，还有拍一些 video， 然后宣传大堡礁的旅游项目。She said anyone could enter, and winner could choose any three friends from all corners of the globe to join them.So, if you are, you know, available for now, you have a job, or you want to quit your job right now, then you can have the chance to, you know, apply yourself for this kind of one-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's really cool. Like, just I was thinking about it now. I'm trying to decide, like, which three friends I would choose if I won. Because that would just be so awesome, I think. Because basically it's like a six-month...all expenses paid holiday to the Great Barrier Reef, right? And so basically you don't have to worry about anything. And what's really, really cool is that for us, it's going to be the winter, like come November or so. But in Australia, it's actually going to be the summer, right? Their summer starts about the time that our winter starts, because they're in the southern hemisphere. And so it's probably one of the best times to be there.
Now let's turn to England. In England, there's a movie, Time Traveler's Wife, tops British box office. Romantic fantasy, The Time Traveler's Wife, based on a best-selling novel and starring Eric Bana, was the highest-grossing film in Britain over the weekend, narrowly beating Aliens in the Attic.
Yeah, and so and the thing is, like, in the end, it really didn't do very well. It only got about £1.4 million over the 3-day weekend, and so this isn't too good of a showing in the end. Like, even though it was the highest grossing film, like, in the end, like, for a movie, especially on the first week, that's not very much money.
So just behind with the weekend gross of £1.3 million was Aliens in the Attic, and a 20th Century Fox film followed by Disney's, you know, Adventure G-Force, and which rose to third from the fourth place last week. Down one at four was Harry Potter and Half-Blood Prince, the Six Boys Wizards blockbuster, which has amassed £46.8 million so far in Britain.
Yeah, and so, like, the thing is, like, Harry Potter's been out for quite a while, and so, of course, it's not going to maintain it's standing in the box office. Like, the longer a movie's in the box office, usually the further and further down it goes. But at the same time, I mean, obviously they're still making a lot of money off of it, so why take it off, you know?
Yeah. Ice Age, Dawn of Dinosaurs, slipped one place to ace. The Proposal, starring Sandra Block as the pushy boss with visa problems fell fourth to nine and Ribondi ousted top 10 was new entry A Perfect Getaway.
Yeah, and so this is the time of the year where movie theaters, they've already come out with their summer blockbusters, and so what they're trying to do now is kind of find something a little bit more lighthearted, maybe a little bit less serious, and something a little bit lighter and more fun to kind of help round out like the summer box office season, because like this is the time where more people go to see movies, mostly like kids and teenagers, of course, because they're not in school, right? And so they have a lot, much more free time, and they're able to, spend their money on going to the movies and stuff like that.
Okay, and now let's move on to today's business. 接下来呢，我们来听听今晚的财经资讯。Germany unveils plan to develop electric cars. 德国计划发展电力汽车。
Germany unveiled a national development plan recently to put 1 million electric cars on the nation's roads by 2020. The plan involves steps to promote research on electric cars and a network of electric fuel stations across the nation, as well as incentives to encourage people to buy green-powered vehicles. The government has pledged 500 million euros, that's about 705 million US dollars, by 2011 to develop electric vehicles. Under this ambitious plan, the electric cars on German roads will reach over 5 million in 2030, and traffic in towns and cities could be predominantly without fossil fuels by 2050. It's our goal to reduce energy consumption and explore new energy sources if Germany wants to keep its place in the world as environmental leader, Transport Minister Wolfgang Tiefensee told a news conference recently. Tiefensee said that turning to electric cars was a paradigm change for the automobile industry. The plan could provide an incentive for the German automobile industry to compete with the United States and Asia.
Alright, that was today's good news. Now let's move on to Studio Classroom.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining us here at Studio Classroom Worldwide to study English with us. My name is Steve. Well, golf is a great game. One reason I like golf is the challenge of trying to get that small golf ball to go in the direction I want it to go in. Another reason I like golf is that golf courses are usually very beautiful scenic places, and they are well taken care of, especially the sections called the green. And the green will be our focus in this lesson, and green will be our first key word of the day. Our example sentence for green reads, a new golf green will be built in the hills outside the city. It will also be helpful to know the verb chirp, as in every morning, Lisa wakes up to the sound of her pet birds chirping. Now, let's tee off by opening our magazines to page 54. Please follow as we read how golf greens work.
How golf greens work. There's more to a golf green than what appears on the surface. Let's imagine that you are standing on a beautiful golf green. The sun is shining. The sky is a bright blue. The birds are chirping in the nearby trees. It is a perfect day. Now you look down at your feet. The grass is absolutely perfect too. Have you ever wondered how they get the grass on a golf green to be this perfect? It starts with a backhoe. A backhoe digs a nice big hole the size of the green. The hole might be 12 or 16 inches deep.
Hi friends, I'm Chip.
And I'm Esther, and we're so glad you joined us for today's How Stuff Works article. Now, every month, we will tell you about how something works. And today, we're talking about golf greens, how golf greens work. Usually, when we talk about this word green, we're using it as an adjective to describe the color of trees and grass, but here we're using it as a noun. Chip, can you help us out?
Yeah, a golf green or a green is the area, the green, grassy area around the hole or around the cup. If you play golf, you know that the goal of golf is to hit a golf ball into a cup. And it takes several hits to get it to the cup and maybe some more hits to get it into the cup. And so what surrounds the cup is a golf green.
Now, I'm so glad that Chip plays golf and he knows a lot about golf, so he'll be telling us more about golf today. And we're going to learn that there is more to a golf green than what appears on the surface. So it looks like it's just a piece of land with some grass, but actually there's a lot more to it.
Okay, so our article starts off by saying, let's imagine that you are standing on a beautiful golf green. The sun is shining, the sky is a bright blue color, and the birds are chirping in the nearby trees. Now, that word chirping is a word that we often use to refer to the way that the sounds that birds make. A chirp is a short, high-pitched sound that birds and some insects and frogs, all of those animals, make a chirping sound.
Right, and if you're very happy and you speak in a very high voice, then you might be described as chirping, too. Well, so it's a perfect day, or it seems like it's a perfect day. It's beautiful outside, and you are enjoying playing golf. So what do? Well, you look down at your feet, and the grass is absolutely perfect, too. Now, if any of you have a garden, you know that it's not easy to have perfect grass. I mean, I remember living in Canada, and we had to plant seeds and pull out weeds and water the grass, and it was extremely difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult to have perfect grass in your lawn. And if you've ever stood on a golf green and looked down to see that grass, that's a very different quality of grass on a golf green. It's very, very short, and it's very, very smooth.
So our question for you today is, have you ever wondered how they get the grass on a golf green to be so perfect, to be this perfect? How can it be like it's absolutely perfect? Well, we're going to find out.
And our article moves on to say it starts with a backhoe. Now, a backhoe is something that you might not know what it is. A backhoe is a big machine that digs holes. And it's a machine that you would drive, and it digs holes to prepare for building a building or building a road or, in this case, building a golf green.
So our sentence here, a backhoe digs a nice big hole the size of the green.
So the backhoe digs a nice big hole the size of the green. And our article says that this hole might be 12 to 16 inches deep. So that's about 30 or 40 centimeters deep.
Okay, so that's kind of deep, right? 30 to 40 centimeters. And this machine, the backhoe, and it's spelled B-A-C-K-H-O-E, so two words. Something back, going back, and a hoe. A hoe is like a little thing that you hit to the ground, a tool for making the sand comes up. And this is a good way to remember this word that Chip earlier defined, a machine that digs a hole, H-O-L-E, for a road or here for a golf green. So this machine is amazing because it can dig a hole the size of the golf green. Now, Chip, some golf greens are kind of big, right?
Oh, certainly, yeah. They can be very large golf greens and take up a very large area. And as we will see here in this article, the golf green really does take a lot of preparation. And the reason for this is because the green, the finished green, needs to be very smooth and very perfect, because on the green, you are making very small, delicate, exact hits, or we call those putts, in order to get the ball into the cup.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Well, people often think of golf as being very expensive, and it can be, but it doesn't have to be. There are many public golf courses that are reasonably priced, and if you can borrow some golf clubs, it can be very affordable. So think about giving it a try. Well, to have a nice golf course, you need some equipment, like a backhoe. What happens after the backhoe digs out the gigantic hole for the green? Let's focus on that word gigantic for a second. Gigantic. Can you jump over that gigantic puddle of water? It will also be helpful to preview the noun fabric, as in, this dress is made out of a shiny blue fabric. Okay, we'll pick up the reading right where we left off at line 8.
How golf greens work. In the most advanced systems, this hole gets completely lined with plastic to create a gigantic waterproof tub. The bottom of this tub is covered with drainage pipes and several inches of gravel. A layer of special fabric covers the gravel. Then a foot or so of fine sand goes on top of the fabric and fills up the hole. You can see what is happening. The grass is not growing in dirt at all. The green is very much like a huge flower pot. The green's grass grows in sand with perfect drainage.
Okay, so before the break, we were talking about how a backhoe will dig a big hole, and this will be the space where they will fill with dirt and where the grass will be planted, and this will be the place where the golf green will be. Now, usually the hole will be about 12 to 16 inches, or about 30 to 40 centimeters. Let's continue on and talk about this hole. So our text says, in the most advanced systems, this hole gets completely lined with plastic to create a gigantic waterproof tub. Now let's first go back and talk about this word lined. Chip, can you help us out?
Yeah, when you line something with plastic, or when you line something, you're actually covering the inside of a container or the inside of something. Normally when you cover something, you're covering the outside. When you line something, you're covering the inside. So here, the inside of this hole gets covered with plastic, which is waterproof. And waterproof is a word that we should probably understand. What does waterproof mean?
Waterproof means that the water won't be able to get through. So this plastic is very thick because you don't want the water to get through this plastic and get into the space on top of it. Also, this plastic is a gigantic piece of plastic. If something is gigantic, it means it's extremely large. It's huge. Now, imagine if you've ever been to a golf course, you know that some of these golf greens or golf courses are extremely large. So that's why this piece of plastic is gigantic and waterproof.
That's right. So with this waterproof plastic, we've created a gigantic tub, kind of like the tub or the bathtub that might be in your bathroom at home. And the bottom of this tub is covered with drainage pipes. And drainage is the ability to drain water. So we want this tub to be a little bit not waterproof. We want it to drain. We want it to drain water a little bit.
So it's actually quite fancy, and it requires a lot of technology. And not only are there drainage pipes, There are also several inches of gravel. Now, gravel is the very small stone you see used to make roads or sometimes even to line some people's gardens. It's very, very pretty, and it's different from sand, small rocks.
All right, so this gravel, or these small rocks, help this tub drain water. Then, a layer of special fabric covers the gravel. Okay, so fabric is an important word to know. It's a material, probably some kind of special cloth material. Clothes are made out of fabric. Curtains are made out of fabric. The sheets on my bed would be considered fabric.
Right, and sometimes if someone is wearing a shirt or something, you might ask them, what fabric is this? So if I ask Chip, what fabric is your shirt?
Yeah, well, I think this material is a cotton fabric.
Right, and I think this material is cotton and polyester. So it's the kind of cloth used to make clothes or curtains or other things. Now, we're talking about this fabric that is on top of the gravel, and it's keeping the gravel, separating it from the sand, because on top of this gravel, there will be some sand that will fill this golf green up.
Okay, so this sand is also very fine, which means that it's made up of very, very tiny, very, very small rocks. And our article says you can see what's happening. The grass is not growing in dirt at all. It's actually growing on sand.
Right, and so this is different from a regular garden, a regular lawn where grass is growing on dirt. This grass is different because it's like it's in a huge flower pot.
So that's all we have for today.
So friends, why is a golf green called a green? If you don't know, I'll tell you tomorrow. Until then, everyone here at Studio Classroom Worldwide hopes you have a wonderful day. See you next time.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Okay, and that was Studio Classroom, which means that we are at the end of this Friday edition of English Evening. And of course, as always, we always appreciate our dedicated and loyal listeners who continue to listen to our show and who continue to support us with their emails and questions. And speaking of which, if you have any questions or anything you would like to say, anything you would like us to know, please feel free to email us at englishevening@cnr.cn. And so, once again, thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a good weekend.
感谢您收听今晚的英语之夜节目。Hope to see you tomorrow. Bye bye.
22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
Cookie 经济学，
欢迎来到 Cookie 经济学。今日茶点：天气期货 ，Weather Derivatives。
1997年，美国芝加哥期货交易所推出了天气期货产品，交易者靠预测买卖未来的温度赚取差价。商品价格和天气息息相关，冬天冷，取暖燃料就会涨价；夏天凉，空调就卖不出去。天气期货可以帮助企业规避天气风险，有的企业还能从异常天气当中获利。
瑞士天梭表为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。
北京时间23点整。
China Business Radio，
每一次倾听都有。